Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.
Welcome to the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast, everybody. One more show without Beller, although he's there in the background producing. Welcome back for baby Beller for everybody out there. That's where he's been, but he'll be back next week. One more special guest this week. Myself, Brandon Funston, as always, but one of the kings of the industry. If you're not following Brad Evans, I don't know what the hell is wrong with you. Let's just put it that way. Right, Brad?
Well, I know about that. If you're following my bets, then you're probably in the red. So hashtag faith and noise.
I don't ever believe that. I watch you all the time, and I follow your bets. Sorry for my throat. I've got a little thing going on here. But
yeah, because you were screaming at all my lousy bets that you were tailing last night, probably in Major League Baseball. All of them. I got pulled. Captain Hook has pulled me down to Davy Jones's locker here the last several weeks, it seems like. I've learned a valuable lesson from Senior Fun Buns, Mr. Funston. Never bet on the NBA. Over the last week of the regular season. Never do it.
Thank you.
I couldn't resist. It was a siren song.
I was saying 2 weeks. I was saying at least two weeks.
Brutal. I'm 100% with you. I keep messaging Chris Meaney. I mean, like, this is absurd. Like, I'm buying down lines. I'm buying down spreads, Brad. And I'm like, okay, you know, they have them by plus 11. I'll give them plus 16 and a half. Nope, still smashed by 24 or something like that.
It's brutal, man. And the baseball strikeout props have gotten even worse. Like, I even cursed Garrett Cole last night. I mean, that's all you need to know.
I was on the other side. I took the money line of the Yankees in a parlay. And the flipping Seattle Mariners, thank you, Funston, lost to the Tigers last night. So I'm with you. But you made me a ton of money on college basketball. That's one of my specialties.
NFL player props, college basketball lines, totals, props, the whole shebang. I love those sports. I got to stop wagering on the NBA and Major League Baseball. But I need something. I need something to pass the time. Maybe I should just bet on hockey. I don't know anything about it. I'd probably be plus EV.
Follow Chris Meaney.
Well, yeah, true. And Meaney is the man when it comes to the puck, no doubt.
Here's what you need to do. You also have to message me and make sure I didn't bet Chris's lines that night, because otherwise I just torpedo all of them. We are going to talk NFL lines at the end of the show, but we're going to talk all fantasy football today. Funston, anything you want to say before we jump in? This is your boy. I mean, you talk to him every day.
No, I'm going to be talking to him ad nauseum the rest of the week. So
he doesn't want to add anything else. Trust me. I mean, he's already sick and tired of me. He gets me 2 hours every single day, and occasionally I call him early in the morning, get his butt out of bed. I said, "Did you watch the mayor of Easttown last night?" No. Like, what's wrong with you? You know, these are conversations we have off air.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, you're 10 hours a week. He's already sick of 1 hour a week of me. So that's just.
True story.
And speaking of being sick of things, look at that for a transition, everybody. Let's talk Travis Etienne, because that's all it's been for the past week, Brad, is Travis Etienne. The rookies head to camp, and we're going to talk about this whole rookie situation in general at this time of the year, but the panic storm was at peak level. Travis Etienne's lining up at wide receiver. What the hell is Urban Meyer doing? What's going to happen to Etienne? Are they going to make him play wide receiver? Where are you on this, Brad? And bring James Robinson to the conversation, because I tweeted this out yesterday of, this is what we want from Kamara. This is what we wanted from David Johnson. This is what we wanted from Le'Veon. How is this a bad thing, Brad?
It's not a bad thing, because all of us play some form of PPR, and if you're in a standard league, you're dragging your knuckles on the ground, and you're living in, you know, the Stone Age overall. But look, Travis Etienne, could it be what, like, DeAndre Swift was last year? I mean, I think that's inherently possible. Within this offense, you know, if everything falls into place, you know, he's a guy that's uber talented. We know he's got the shimmy and the shake. He's highly elusive in the open field. He's already got a built-in chemistry and rapport with Trevor Lawrence, which is going to carry over instantaneously from their story days at Clemson to the NFL. And, you know, I'm looking at him probably getting anywhere between 11 to 13 touches per game. You know, a handful of those are going to be through the air. The other handful is going to be on the ground. So what they're trying to do is, you know, get him accustomed, get him acclimated to an NFL scheme and system that Meyer and Bevel want to run in Jacksonville. And I don't see this necessarily as a bad thing. If it's bad press, then by all means, let's go and deflate what is already kind of an inflated ADP as he's hugging that RB2 line in 12-team leagues. I'll get him at a little bit of a discount. And meanwhile, James Robinson, you know, I think this really shows the hand a little bit of what this coaching staff wants to do. You know, a lot of people are poo-pooing Robinson, casting him aside. Hey, was your one-year wonder. Thank you, Steve Slayton. Exit stage left, you know. And I think James Robinson could easily command the lion's share of the red zone opportunities, win the goal line gig. Yeah, his yardage is going to be suppressed. But, you know, could he score 6 to 8 touchdowns? Absolutely. And you're getting him right now in some drafts like an RB5. He's tumbled so far into the late 30s in terms of running back ADP. So, you know, I like this Jacksonville team as a whole. Many upgrades across the board. Funts and I have talked about this in the SiriusXM show. We like the wide receiver core, you know, with DJ Chark, Laviska Shenault, and his boy Marvin Jones. We fawns over on repeat. But, you know, I really believe that ETN and also James Robinson can coexist and present a pretty handsome ROI at their current price points.
Yeah, just to throw in, I mean, we saw this when Kareem Hunt went to Cleveland. Oh, they're running him at wide receiver, you know. This is not, I mean, if they wanted a real wide receiver, they would have drafted Rashad Bateman. They're not going to use him at just wide receiver, you know. So I think that they're just planning to get the ETN more ways to be on the field when James Robinson is also on the field. And if you want to think about it in terms of like Kareem Hunt and the 11 to 13 touches you mentioned, Brad, is, you know, that's kind of Kareem Hunt. So I can see that kind of being the roadmap for ETN. My concern here is Urban Meyer, like, you know, taking a running back, making him a wide receiver, taking a quarterback, making him a tight end. These are kind of college things, you know, and I, you know, and Nick Saban didn't work out in the NFL. I'm just wondering if this, you know, this mad scientist Urban Meyer thing is just, you know, maybe not the right.
But Brandon, they have to find intervention on their side. I mean, you can bet on Tim Tebow.
We'll see. Will they have divine intervention in week one? That's the big question.
They're playing Houston. They don't need anything. All right. They're going to be fine there. But yeah, Tim Tebow, you can actually wager on this. He's 33-1 to win comeback player of the year. Like, why? Wow. Why is that a thing? Why is it even remotely offered? I have no idea.
Because there are I've said this before. There are people that will say that Tim Tebow is, you know, can walk on water, and they'll happily put their money behind him. And the sports books would be crazy not to put that wager up because that's just free money for them.
Well, so I wasn't going to hit on this, but I'm going to spin one thing into it. You were just saying, Brandon, that made me think of it. Urban Meyer also said Colin Johnson is somebody that could be a tight end option and didn't mention Shenault. He brought up Shenault and said he has the body for it, but not the skill of the presence of like being the big body. He uses his body more in quickness. So this is a whole thing. Is all these things, Brad, is this, it kind of starts to make me think of Chip Kelly. Like, is he getting too cute before we even get him into the NFL?
Yeah, look, and here's the thing about Urban Meyer. His ego is bigger than all the rooms that we're sitting in right now taping this podcast combined. So he is stubborn as a mule, and I think it's going to be really hard for him to kind of change his ways. And, you know, I will say this about Darrell Bevell. You know, I know Funson has probably some unsavory attitudes toward him from his days in Seattle. Maybe not.
No. In the grand scheme of things, he wasn't so bad compared to, you know, Brian Schottenheimer
and what Petey, you know, Sunshine wants to do. Hey, let's run the ball 30 times a game, Russ. What do you think about that? But, you know, you look at Bevel here the last five seasons, putting, you know, play calling between Seattle and Detroit. Each of his passing offenses, with the exception of one of those five seasons, ranked top 10. So, you know, I think it's a pretty good setup. If Bevel is the one really holding the keys to this offense and is calling the shots, and Urban Meyer can make some, you know, harebrained suggestions here and there, as long as Bevel stays true to his play calling and really focuses on the strength of this offense, which is going to be on the arm of Trevor Lawrence, you know, I think there's a ton of upside here. But I think Meyer will find a way to destroy it. And ultimately, this entire team will be in a cesspool within a couple of years, and he'll be back in a booth on Fox.
So yes,
the parallels with Chip Kelly seem to be pretty accurate.
Yeah, that's true. Chip Kelly's not in the booth though. So, all right,
that's true.
So this is going to fold into the conversation coming after this. I want to bring up CeeDee Lamb because, and it happens a lot of times because I'm not the only one. Like I think my eyes were already set on it because I had just written up CeeDee Lamb and talking about his first five games with Dak and averaging 17 points a game and all this greatness. And then you see somebody else tweet about CeeDee Lamb and then you see somebody and it just your eyes are kind of already there. And I say this, Brad, is because we as the fantasy industry, you know, if you tweet about somebody and then somebody else tweets about somebody and then somebody else, and then, or Brandon does and somebody else, once like three, four, five of us start tweeting, it kind of, we know what it happens, the group think, and then everybody's talking about the same guys. And all of a sudden these guys go from, hey, let's not forget about this guy. Hey, look at the upside he has, to all of a sudden all the return on investment is out the window and now they're being overpriced. As CeeDee Lamb seems like he's already off to out the races, head start on everybody else. People are talking about his wide receiver one already. What are your thoughts on CeeDee Lamb? And bring into that entire offseason, I even put it here, offseason noise just for you when it comes to stuff like this.
Yeah, I mean, with the offseason noise stuff, you have to take everything with a giant grain of salt, right? There's a lot of coach speak, and we're all just thirsty. We're hungry. We're voracious for any kind of information. So, you know, we can spin a headline. Then we can scribble a piece on it. You know, it's all about content creation. We all have opinions. You know, Brandon and I have to figure that out every day for 2 hours, you know, on SiriusXM. So any kind of, you know, tasty little tidbit that hits the news wire, we're going to pounce like a panther and jump all over it. But I'm in agreement with you, man. CeeDee Lamb is grossly overpriced. And, you know, you look at where his ADP is at right now, depending upon what site you're using, but I'm checking some of the best balls that are out there. I mean, I'm seeing it wide receiver 15, a guy that's hugging the top 40 line right now, sandwiching between Mike Evans and Robert Woods. That's absurdity. That's asinine. That's obscene. Like, I got to understand there's a lot of mouths to feed there. We can't forget about Michael Gallup. We got Amari Cooper there, and Cooper's going, you know, right around the same price point, maybe a little bit higher than CeeDee Lamb. And, yeah, the Dak attack is going to be back, and I think he's a strong candidate, plus 175, mind you, to win comeback player of the year. Slightly better odds than Tim Tebow, and I think he'll get there. But, you know, it's just too rich for my blood, and I think the hype train is out of control. And, you know, could he deliver a top 20 line? Yeah, I think he's, you know, certainly in the conversation to do that. But you're paying out maximum value for him right now in drafts, and that's not really how the fantasy game is played. We're trying to maximize value on every single selection, and right now the ROI simply is not there.
I agree. I think that last point you said is exactly the point. Like, he can be top 12, top 15, but that is the max, and you're paying for that. And I mean, we've seen like Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, DK Metcalf, and Tyler Lockett. Those were teammates. They were both top 10 fantasy wide receivers last year. It can happen, but you kind of also need it to be stars aligned. You have to not have Michael Gallup be a huge part of the passing game, or Ezekiel Elliott, or, you know, Blake Jarwin, yeah. And it has to kind of think the funnel has to kind of go down to those two guys to make it work. And so, like CeeDee Lamb, he was right on the borderline of top 20 last year, and he had, you know, only Dak for five games. So we should think of him as a top 20 wide receiver, but top 10, I mean, that's just taking all the value out of the equation. I like him in the 15 to 20 range, but if I have to pay higher than that, then I'm like, I think I can get better, you know, return on investment somewhere else with someone that has equal upside, but I'm not paying that price.
Well, then real quickly, Brandon, for you, is there somebody else besides Lamb, or on the flip side, is there somebody else you're thinking is getting too much noise, or is kind of like, hey, let's build up the noise. He's too quiet right now at this point of the offseason.
If someone is getting too much noise, well,
you could go on the other side as long as you don't steal my guy. It's not getting enough. But, you can let Brad go first. I was just trying to let you go first for a change.
You didn't prep me on this. I'm just suddenly looking down my list and seeing who
Hey, Brad, you see the copy here. I sent the copy. It says how to treat it too much or too quiet. I did prep you.
Listen, this is typical Brandon. Doesn't read the script, just goes with the flow, you know, shoots at the hip. I deal with this every day.
I just read the headlines. I don't read the bullet points below the headlines.
Yeah, he's not going to read the fine print on anything. Oh, I have to sacrifice a kidney if I want to buy this car? Well, I'll sign my name right here on the dotted line because I never saw that. For me, it's CEH. That's my guy. And Frantz and I have talked about this. I think, you know, we've seen this so far in early fantasy drafts among the quote-unquote expert community, where CEH is, you know, holding a higher premium than he is right now in standard best ball drafts. He's at RB17. According to the ADPs of the best balls at 28.43, but I've seen him go as high as the early portion of round two in a 12-team half-point PPR exercise. And again, that's just too rich for my blood. I think Darrell Williams is going to play a larger role than people expect in this offense. The organization loves him. He had a prominent role down the stretch. CEH is not a lock to command the majority of the red zone or the goal line works in this offense. The offense still flows through Patrick Mahomes. I know it's explosive. I know the offensive line upgrades are tremendous and very encouraging, and it lends a lot of promise. But I think we're all going to fall in this trap again. At least, I won't, and I don't think Funson will either, that by the time August hits and we're at peak fantasy draft season, I think the hype is going to be so deafening for CEH. People are going to wind up drafting him pretty close, maybe not number one overall, because I was in a couple of drafts last year where he did land in that, but pretty close to where he was last year during peak draft season, which is late first round. And for me, I'm just not buying that at all. I think he is going to be another disappointment this year. And you're overpaying if you're paying anything inside the top 15 in terms of ADP. Hell, maybe even inside the top 20, because I'm outside my top 20 at the running back position currently.
You know what? I'll jump in here because CEH got me thinking about Josh Jacobs.
Oh,
of course, everybody
gets really?
Me thinking about Josh Jacobs.
Really?
Yeah,
you
well,
Josh Jacobs?
I just,
no. Get out.
Wait, which direction are you going with this one? I don't even know.
No, well, disrespect always with Josh Jacobs. It's always the direction of disrespect. And it buys into the Kenyon Drake hype going into the Raiders and that being such a damning thing for Josh Jacobs. I was just in a RotoWire PPR draft, and he went, I think, RB24, RB23, and like CEH was in front of him. And, you know, there was like three or four running backs that I was like, I wouldn't even hesitate to take Josh Jacobs ahead of. And the thing about Josh Jacobs is like, they're just worried about Kenyon Drake, but Jacobs has 53 of 104 RB catches the last 2 years. Kenyon Drake's coming in. He's going to be the cream hunt. If you think of Josh Jacobs as Nick Chubb, then he's been top 15 in PPR formats each of the last 2 years, and he hasn't even played full season. So I just don't see how Josh Jacobs falls into the mid-20s just because of Kenyon Drake being there, being the change of pace back.
See, well, here's my pushback. I wonder if Brad agrees with you or me, but my opinion is what you just said. Kenyon Drake's not a pass catcher. Like, the offseason of where I did landing spots of where could we get the best situations for running backs is I put Kenyon Drake on the Falcons. Don't ask him to be the pass catcher. Just ask him to replace Todd Gurley and go out there, run the ball 15, 18 times a game and maybe get two or three catches. Similar, like you just brought up Nick Chubb. That's my concern, is that he's going to take some of the carries away from Josh Jacobs, and Josh Jacobs is still not going to improve in the passing game. Are you more with Brandon or are you more with me, Brad?
No, I think I'm more with Funston, to be honest. You know, you look at Kenny Drake. He did have 50 catches a couple of years ago in 14 games, you know, prior to his stint in Arizona. And a guy that, you know, was more of a pass catcher with the Miami Dolphins than he was a power back. It's very strange. Right. His football evolution and what he has become. You know, usually you pencil a guy in and you know immediately what they are. It's almost like, you know, kind of like Reggie Bush. Reggie Bush was a guy, remember early in his career, he's kind of a jack of all trades in New Orleans Saints. Caught a ton of balls, electric in the open field, extremely slippery, difficult to bring down, not much a between the tackles guy. Well, then he went to Miami and he was a between the tackles guy, remember? Right. And then he, you know, kind of later in his career went back to being more of that pass catching type. And I'm not comparing Drake to Bush by any stretch of the imagination because they're not even in the same realm talent-wise. But in terms of their employment or deployment, I think their career arc is somewhat similar. So I think Drake can step in and be more of that change of pace guy. I mean, they're talking about utilizing him in the slot, utilizing him primarily as a receiver. And maybe that's out of desperation because you look at Las Vegas and that Raiders wide receiver, you know, room is very underwhelming across the board. And maybe John Brown can elevate and stay healthy and Smoke can deliver on all fronts, or Henry Ruggs can really step up, or Hunter Renfrow can be a consistent week-to-week slot guy. I mean, it's Darren Waller and just a bunch of May right now on that roster. So Kenny Drake could carve out a role within this scheme. So, you know, I'll be really curious. That'll be one of the things I'm going to zero in on during the dress rehearsal in preseason. You know, when we get to like weeks two, week three of the preseason, when, you know, starters are playing meaningful action, there's a little bit of scheming going on. It's not entirely vanilla. If they deploy Drake more as a receiver in those instances, that could be a harbinger of a lot of catches to come in the regular season.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. If that's how things break out, I'm more with you. My concern is if that is. I hope that change is coming.
We'll see.
I definitely hope. For mine, Brandon already knows this. I brought him up. Mine's, I'm going with the two quiet. I am all over Josh Reynolds. I am all over the Titans made it clear that Josh Reynolds is the replacement. They did nothing to address the rest of that, and I want him walking into that Corey Davis share, who, by the way, did his share in only 14 games. And I just I am the Josh Reynolds needs more attention. So real quickly before we get to a few more topics, I want to circle back to the CeeDee Lamb thing real quick. Now, Brandon, are you ready if I come to you first this time?
I think so.
Okay, this is a sub point, so I don't know if you read it, but
I did. I think I'm prepared.
Do you ever? And I know that cost comes into play because you're probably not going to want to do it with your second and third round picks, like, or even second and fourth. You're not going to want to go Jefferson Thielen. But are you ever in drafts where you're like, you know what? I have no problem taking two wide receivers from the same team because they can finish inside the top 15, and if that's the case, they're the best options for my team on the draft board.
Yeah, I mean, it's totally about environment when I do that. It's like, is this team throw a lot? And again, is the funnel two guys and not a socialistic kind of approach where they're spreading the ball all around and there's actually a bunch of other attractive options there as well. So, I mean, you know, Atlanta with Calvin with Ridley and Julio Jones, when Julio Jones is healthy, like, give me both of those guys on any given Sunday, right? Like, I mean, that's a great situation. They always throw the ball a lot. Pittsburgh's, you know, the last few years of Ben Roethlisberger, they've thrown the ball a ton. Now they have three receivers, and that gets a little bit dicey. But, you know, Deontay Johnson and Chase Claypool, I'd happily take both of those guys, you know, roll them out each week as well. There's a lot of, you know, DK and Lockett, I mentioned that. I mean, David Moore, he's been nothing. Their number three receiver's been nothing, you know, and they
hold on, Brad, I brought this up to Brandon a few weeks. Do you know what the third most targets were on that team last year for the receivers for Seahawks? Actually, not just receivers, running backs, tight ends, receivers. It was David Moore. Do you want to know what his targets were?
Let me guess. Let's see. David Moore had 54 targets last year.
You overshot by 7.
Yeah. Oh, all right. I was in the ballpark. In the vicinity.
You're in the ballpark. It's still
it was
nice
in the 40s,
number.
Yeah.
47. So what about you, Brad? Do you have any problem with, like, Tampa Bay? We could throw, if we get a whole healthy Odell Beckham, I think there's teams we could throw into this two wide receiver situation for a lot of fantasy squads.
Yeah, I mean, you look at a team like San Francisco, you know, it's Deebo Samuel, it's Brandon Ayuk, and, you know, you do have George Kittle there, but if you're just focusing explicitly on the wide receivers, you know, that's really a two wide receiver scenario there. I mean, there are so many of these that are out there, and it, you know,
Terry
it
and
is
Samuel.
Pretty, yeah, I mean, that's another one that really stands out. You know, it's fascinating, and I'm really curious to see how a lot of these are going to develop because, you know, there's going to be somebody that's going to emerge from the woodwork. You know, much like maybe Cole Beasley did a couple of seasons ago, you know, we knew what he was in Dallas, and then he goes to Buffalo, and he's always forgotten about, but he's a consistent, you know, third wide receiver threat, and maybe he's going to be more of the wide receiver too this year. We'll see what Gabe Davis can do within this offensive scheme with the increased opportunity. But, yeah, I mean, like Washington, as you mentioned, you know, with Curtis Samuel and Terry McLaurin there, you know, Dyami Brown is fascinating to me as a rookie because it's a clear path to opportunity. All you got to do is unseat Kelvin Harmon. And if you could do that, yeah, you got Logan Thomas there as well, but you have a loose cannon quarterback who all he does, you know, I call Ryan Fitzpatrick the Lorax. He speaks for the trees and brings opponents to their knees. And all he loves to do is just throw the pill recklessly down the field. And Dyami Brown, you know, you look at the film at North Carolina, and that North Carolina roster, holy mackerel, just loaded with fantasy goodness last season.
And maybe the number one pick in next year's draft, too.
That's true. very, very astute point there, Brandon, which you can wager on right now if you really want to at various sportsbooks across the country. But Dyami Brown has got some Gumby-like athleticism in terms of his bend, his contortion skills, his ball adjustment. He's a guy that could step in and, you know, maybe be a sneaky source for 50 to 55 receptions, 750 to 850 yards, and a handful of touchdowns. Now, is that going to win you your fantasy league? No, but there are also psychos like me that play in 18 and 20 teamers. And if I can get a guy like that, you know, fairly late in a draft to yield, you know, decent flex value week in and week out, I'm going to take it all diggity day long.
Yeah, I've been you with a Will Fuller light, basically. I like the upside for that one.
I like that.
And I like the fact that you transitioned right into my next point without even realizing it, is I wanted to talk about rookie wide receivers that aren't the big three. And more so, it's super early. Again, this rookie camp situation, they're the only people on the field are rookies, everybody. Like, of course, we're going to see a lot of situations. But the Amon-Ra St. Brown, oh, this opportunity he's stepping into. It's a great. Amari Rodgers could be the number two, assuming the other Rodgers is back. And then you have Kadarius Toney, who's buried. You have Nico Collins, which we've heard good and bad about every single day. Rashad Bateman's not the best landing spot. Is there somebody from the non-big three that you really like for your rate, whether it's opportunity or skill set that you're really looking as? This could be the guy that surprises as a rookie.
Yeah, for me, I really love Elijah Moore's skill set of the New York Jets. I mean, he's a guy that's highly explosive. He's route savvy. He's got that quick twitch. You know, he's not the biggest dude. He's diminutive in size. He had, 5'8", 5'9", and 185 pounds, probably soaking wet. But, you know, he's a player that I could see coming in and potentially even overtaken one of Brandon's favorite guys. He was perpetually underrated, Jamison Crowder.
Oh, Crowder's right gone after the cut date. They save $11 million or something like that.
Yeah, and that makes a ton of sense. So Moore steps in immediately, becomes the slot option here. You know, we'll see about the Jets defense. You know, it's still a work in progress to get it up to a level of respectability, and Robert Saleh will probably get it there with his defensive mindset. And we got Denzel Mims there as a Funston favorite as well, and a guy that I think very highly of. You got Corey Davis, who I think could be a steady Eddie week in and week out. Like Christopher Herndon's a wild card, but, you know, this team is scoreboard chasing. Early and often, you know, Elijah Moore could become the apple of a young quarterback's eye because of ability to break off a press coverage off that line of scrimmage, get a step on his defender on a quick slant or even a streak route, and they can be, in, you know, an instant connection. So at wide receiver 66 in terms of ADP right now in the 170s, Elijah Moore is somebody that I have got highlighted, I got underlined, I got it scrawled in blood on my cheat sheet. I think very highly of him there in the 11th hour fantasy drafts, knowing that, you know, yeah, you're getting him at like wide receiver six. And when the dust settles on the 2021 season, you could be looking at a back end wide receiver three in 12 team formats.
Yeah, I mean, Nico Collins is interesting to me. I mean, he's kind of got the DJ Chark spark score popping, you know, the big size and you know, just awesome athlete. I always get pause. The Michigan roots gives me pause because it hasn't been a great path to success in the NFL under Jim Harbaugh, and it's a crappy passing. But this was a guy that could have played in the SEC and chose. He could have played for Alabama and LSU and chose to go to Michigan. So if Deshaun Watson plays meaningful, you know, if he's playing games this year, Nico Collins could quickly could get very interesting quick. So the other guy that I think is a sleeper is Josh Palmer, and I've talked about him before, Jake. I like his skill set at Tennessee. Wasn't a very conducive passing environment there, but man, this guy is athletic and goes up and wins contested balls, and I think he's got opportunity. I mean, some people might like Tyron Johnson or Jalen Guyton as that number three there, but I think it's the way they drafted him in the third round, they're going to give him an opportunity to go out and potentially win a role there. So I'll be watching Josh Palmer this summer pretty closely.
Yeah, we know Mike Williams will miss at least two or three games coming down right on his back every single possible chance. Is Amon Ross St. Brown getting too much? Go back to the beginning of the show. Is he getting too much love just because everybody's like, they have to throw the ball to somebody?
Yeah, I think a little bit. And, you know, I love him and using the bulletin board material and the motivation. Oh, I've memorized all 15 wide receivers that were taken ahead of me in this NFL draft. I'm never going to forget them. All right, dude. Hey.
It feels like a street cred thing to say now. So many people have done that.
Yeah, look, I would go full speed and, you know, Hopper's character in that film, you know, pop quiz hotshot, name all 15 right now and see if you'd actually get them right. And if you rifled them off, then great, more power to him, more credit to him. But, you know, I thought he was a good prospect, not a great prospect out of USC. And I think we're overlooking Breshad Perriman slightly. Like, you know, Perriman is only, a season and a half removed from that spectacular finish that he had with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I know it was full Jameis, I don't give a flying F football at that point, but that's what it's going to be the entire year for Dan Campbell's Detroit Lions. And if there's a real lion in the clubhouse, they're all going to be running streak routes down the field. That's what Dan Campbell wants.
The
gazelle. He's like, I want a pet lion.
Tyrell Williams, while he's healthy, he'll be doing something while he's out there until he gets hurt.
Somebody is going to catch the damn ball. It could be a whole lot of DeAndre Swift underneath, but we know that Jared Goffel has so many downsides to his overall skill set. But you're right. I mean, this team is probably trailing 20-0 in every game so far this season.
Yeah, I'm willing to invest in DeAndre Swift at market price and TJ Hockenson. I probably won't roster another Lion out of the gate.
I will roster Perriman. I will say that much. Well, I think
he's
going to be the wide receiver one.
Nobody wants him.
What's his ADP?
Nothing. I would guess outside the top 50.
Oh, we're going to pull it. Wide receiver 75, 204.97, gentlemen. There you go.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go. Well, all right. You may not have. You can just probably wait week one and just grab him after that, or you know, whatever.
Before we go to this next one, I just want to say, yes, we are going to talk about him next week again, Beller. I know you're probably going to rage out when I bring up his name because you haven't been able to talk about him, but we're talking Justin Fields because he's in the news. Yes, again, Beller, we will come back to him. I promise.
We also
Justin Fields, what's up? Let's do it. From behind, off screen, I had to get in and say something. I've been talking about football on air in a month. I'm itching in. Justin Fields happens. Yes. Okay. You guys run with it. I can't wait.
Don't worry. Don't worry. Evans will channel you, Beller. He will channel
you.
He's a Bears
fan
as well.
Daughter Justine, just for that. I want to talk Justin Fields because we've all been laughing since the draft at Andy Dalton's the quarterback. Andy Dalton's the number one. Andy Dalton's the starter. Blah, 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 blah. There's a two-part question here, Brad. First part is, when do you honestly, your opinion, think Fields starts? And then two, whether it's week one, whether it's week four, whatever it is, once he is, what fantasy value does he have?
He will be the starter week two because we know what's going to happen week one with Andy Dalton under center under the primetime lights. He is going to melt against the Rams, which is arguably the best defense in the NFL on paper coming into the regular season. On the road, I just got to get owned. It's going to be an embarrassment. It's going to be a shellacking in the first half. And I think Matt Nagy, because look, it's L.A. Here's what we know about L.A. There are no Rams fans. There's maybe five in the stands every single game. It's always the opponent's fan base that's here because everybody's from somewhere else in the country. And there are a ton of Bears fans, and they're going to travel. You know, Bears fans notoriously drank Nashville dry about 4 or 5 years ago. They ran out of beer on Broadway. Like, how is that possible? At a party city like Nashville? No, it happened. The Bears drank all the bars dry. All the fans did. Of the, you know, the Tennessee Titans in that area. So they'll go to L.A., they're going to get slobber knockered, and they're going to be, you know, raining down cascades of booze to Matt Nagy because Andy Dalton's out there. First pick six of the game, probably on the first series. They're going to be screaming, they're going to be yelling, they're going to be throwing objects on the field. It's going to be a riotous, almost like a soccer hooligan-like atmosphere in Los Angeles in their beautiful multi-billion-dollar new stadium. And next thing you know, Andy Dalton's going to be on the sidelines with a disgruntled look on his face, and it's going to be the Justin Fields show, and the rest will be history. And that's why I love Fields right now at QB 23, 152.52 in terms of ADP. You know, he's a guy with a scoring duality. We know the massive arm that he has. I think all this nonsense about, oh, his reads, progressions, processing, it's not there. They're morons. Just watch Ohio State games. You know, watch that first game of the college football playoff last year against Clemson, in which he got, I mean, he got beat up. I mean, I thought he had busted ribs, and he was grimacing on every throw, and he was still putting on the money, even, you know, 40, 50 yards down the field, and he was still running with the vim and vigor he normally does. If you're looking for somebody who is going to be a longer season version of Jalen Hurts from last year, it's Justin Fields this year.
So real quick before we go to you, Brandon, to kind of tease our over-unders from later in the show, I have him at QB 14 with the assumption that you do, that he doesn't start week one, over-under his finish QB 14. Over being higher, like, I know, over.
Yeah, it's always confusing for Brandon. You have to define it. He'll get it right one of these days.
No, but you go first. What do you say? 14, does he finish higher or lower than 14? Brad, you.
Oh, me first? He is going to finish under QB 14. I think he'll be a top 12 guy if my master prediction comes to fruition in week one.
Brandon?
I'm going to go higher over because I think he's probably starts. I was going to say, to answer your question, I look at week four, Detroit home game, soft landing. you get him out of the Los Angeles Rams and Aaron Donald. You let Andy Dalton play against his former team, the Cincinnati Bengals.
Revenge game.
You avoid what could be a very tough defense against Cleveland in week three, and you get the soft landing against Detroit. You get the Vegas the next week. I like that as kind of like the wheelhouse where it's, you know, you get a few games under your belt to just kind of watch things play, and then you get the Detroit Lions as your first game. Yeah. That's you can't really ask
Tune
for much
better
than that. Tune
in next week to see when Beller agrees with Brad and me about starting in week two.
You think week two? Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll say, we'll tease that, Beller. You can tease in and come back, and we'll do even more Bears talk. So before we get to the line props, one more question for you, Brad. The Najee Harris talk. Since the draft happened, Steelers did nothing to their offensive line. They ignored their offensive line. Look at the offensive line he's going to run behind. It's miserable, blah, 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 blah. Meanwhile, every single year, and I'm going to you first on this because Brandon and I already touched on this, is we have bottom five yards before contact, bottom five run block, whatever metric you want to throw out where running backs finish inside the top 10. We have top five run blocking units where running backs finish RB25. For you, does offensive line matter with somebody like Harris?
It plays a factor, but volume speaks, and very loudly. And, you know, to go Spinal Tap on it, it's cranked to 11 with Najee Harris. Because, you know, Funce and I were talking about this on the SiriusXM show yesterday. I am buying into the idea. And, you know, with the added game this year, it's a minimum 300 touches for Harris, as long as he stays healthy. He is going to be the new Le'Veon Bell in this offensive scheme. I mean, they're already talking about lining him up at the X as a receiver on occasion. You're probably going to see him in motion a lot. You're going to see him in the slot. He could be that power back between the tackles. And, you know, they added Kendrick Green via the draft, a former University of Illinois Fighting Illini. Shout out, champagne in the house. You know, so hopefully that can shore up the interior part of that line. And Pat Freiermuth is a pick that I don't think we should really overlook, because I saw Pat Freiermuth obliterate dudes in college in terms of run blocking, whether he was at Penn State. So I think that's an upgrade there if, you know, they're going to feature him in that capacity early and often this year. So all we're asking for is just, you know, it could be a painfully mediocre, a below average offensive line, and Najee Harris is still going to yield at least a top 12 return. I think he's going to be a top 10 running back. And the fact that you're getting him right now, essentially right there at the turn in rounds 2 to 3 of a 12-team draft, especially if it scores for any way for receptions, is highway robbery, because I think it's a minimum of 50 catches. It could be as high as 70 to 75 when it's all said and done.
I know Brandon loves. We've already talked. Brandon loves him. Brandon, top 10 finish?
Yeah, I think I have him ranked 11th right now at RB, but you can talk me into that. But you know what? He was RB17 in the PPR RotoWire draft, and I almost got him in a 14 teamer after I took McCaffrey number 1 overall. He went before the turn. I was like, "Are you kidding me? I'm going to get Najee Harris on a comeback?" That's insane. Yeah, volume.
I popped him on the turn in a draft recently. I'll happily do it. One of the very, very, very first things I ever loved about Brad Evans, when we have always been on the same page, but he's never played in the NFL. Like, every rookie in the history of football has never played in the NFL.
And so many of them have done so well.
Yeah, what was it, Brandon? You threw out that fact yesterday with something like 6 rookie running backs finish
Jonathan Taylor, James Robinson, Antonio Gibson, three in the top 13, 6 in the top 21. Like, if you don't draft rookie running backs because they never played before, you missed out on 6 of the top 21 running backs last year. You know, it's ridiculous.
How did Justin Jefferson work and has never played in the NFL before?
Exactly.
Not being able to play outside in the NFL.
And I think we all agree 300 touches in play. There was like 4 running backs, I think, that had 300 touches last year. It's such a dinosaur thing that's a real possibility, and you can't deny that volume.
100%. All right, so let's get out of here with your favorite thing, Brad. Over-unders.
Let's do it. Can we start with Najee Harris?
Yeah, of course.
Over.
Because they're all... I am smashing the hell out of that number. That's a sneak preview. I saved him for last. But these are all rookies. Trevor Lawrence, over-under, 41, 99 and a half passing yards.
Oh, it's going to be really close. Again, if you can guarantee me 17 games, because that's always the specter in the room is the menacing injury imp, I'm going to take the over here, because I think Jacksonville's defense is going to royally suck. I think they're going to be a bottom five unit, and Trevor Lawrence is going to be chucking it 35 to 40 times a game. And I like the offensive weapons around him.
That's 247 a game over 17 games. I go Chris Lissy in here. I always this is something, Jake, that Evans and I always throw out. Like, if you're a smart person, you go to every season long over under prop bet and you bet the under, because injuries happen and you're going to get paid off for that. So I'm going to take a slight under. I think he's about, you know, it's close. I'll take a slight under.
All right. Well, I think I might get you on the over, because Brad, the second half of Trevor Lawrence, this is a smash the living hell out of it, right? 22 and a half touchdowns. That's the over under.
Ooh, that's a damn good line. Because I've seen as high as 24.5. But
this
is
bet MGM.
Yeah, well, yeah, take the money. It's got to be juice the over. If it's not, then, you know, just take their money and run.
Yeah.
Brandon, can we get you over here?
Yeah, I mean, you just look at quarterbacks that played 16 games last year, like hardly anybody went under this number. You have to – this is like Teddy Bridgewater level where you're just never throwing. But 22.5 in a 17-game season is going to be easy for almost every, you know, full-time quarterback.
All right, so four more. Here we go. Brad, Devontae Smith, 749.5 receiving yards.
Over. I actually wrote about this on FTN Fantasy in my rookie react piece. I mean, another one of those guys, clear path to opportunity. You know,
walking
into
100-plus targets. Easy.
Oh, easy. Easy. And, you know, I know that driveway cracks are, you know, a problem for him. He probably gets swallowed whole by one because he's so slender, but they call him the Slim Reaper for a reason. And, you know, he's a guy that's got phenomenal ball adjustment skills. Let's not – you know, overlook as well his success rates against press coverage in the SEC. That's going to translate nicely to the next level, despite him needing desperately to pound the protein shake. So, yeah, it's all about volume. You know, I love me some Jalen Hurts. So, you know, make some magic happen there in Philly.
Yeah, he's just the man. I mean, you don't even have to average 60 yards a game to get to 1,000 anymore on a 17-game season.
We're getting you the over? We're getting you the over, Brandon?
Yeah, I'm in on the over there.
Yeah. All right, good. All right, I'm going to double down with this one. I'm going to give you both sides of the line. This is Ja'Marr Chase. This one's, Brad, I don't even want to really touch this one in general, but 1,099.5 yards. Yeah, I kind of want to go under. And then 7.5 touchdowns.
Oh, God, those are both really good lines. Yeah, I would stay very far away. I don't think there's a whole lot of value here. I'm a slide under on the yardage. I think I got him projected for like 1,073. On roughly 70, 71 catches. And then the touchdowns, I think I have them right at 7. So Captain Hook, yar, be good to me for once. I'm going to be under on both of those. But, you know, even if he hits the under on both of those and achieves the exact projection that I'm putting out there, I mean, you're still talking about probably a borderline, if not tucked inside the wide receiver two class in a 12-teamer.
The problem here is that I think you could, at least for the yardage, you could throw that out for Tyler Boyd and for T. Higgins, and you might have the same reaction, like, ooh, you know, there's yeah. three receivers that legitimately have 100 target plus upside, and, you know, it's kind of like a little bit of luck has to be involved for which one ends up, like, you know, being the clear number one. So I think I'm with Jake, in which I would just choose to stay away from this one. Would it surprise me if he went over on both of these numbers? No. But am I willing to bet it? No.
Okay. So last two. ETN, Brad, and this is folding into the conversation from the top of the show, and maybe BetMGM is buying into the scaredness, although maybe the line's not that bad. I don't know. 624.5 rushing.
Yeah, it's a slight over for me. I think he's going to be in that 650 to 675 range. It's a good number, though. It's one I would stay away from, quite frankly, because, again, I think James Robinson's role is going to be a little bit bigger, a little more prominent than people suspect. Everybody's immediately writing him off just because he was a UDFA guy as a rookie last year, but we forget about his high level of production and, you know, fantastic underlying numbers. I mean, he was very, very good on an efficiency basis, per touch basis, so... Yeah, here's what you need to do with Travis Etienne. Just wait for his receptions props to populate and then pound a living daylights out of the over on it, because it's probably going to be set at, like, I don't know, maybe 52.5, 54.5, something like that. I think he's a 60-catch back this season. The rush yards, though, is a bit of a wild card.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the guys that rushed for right around that last year. Mike Davis, Cam Akers, Daryl Henderson, Adrian Peterson, Frank Gore. Like, I don't know. I think the number seems about right. This is another one like Ja'Marr Chase where I think the number is kind of right on, and I'm not going to hazard a guess one way or the other, so it's one I'm going to steer clear of.
All right, so here we come to the ultimate. Smash the hell out of it before we get out of the show. This is, I pulled up this number, Brad, and I looked at it three times thinking I was reading it wrong. Over under Najee Harris, 949.5.
Yeah, and that's high. By the industry. There are other books out there that have it as low as 900.5 on the rush yard. It doesn't make any sense. And the only reason why is because they're accounting for potential for injury.
Right.
But as Funce and I talked about on the radio show, like, he could play 14 games and still get this. He could conceivably miss three contests this year and still reach 1,000 yards because the volume is going to be there. He may be close to 20 touches per game when it's all said and done. within this Pittsburgh Steelers offense. And, you know, I know the offensive line is downtrodden. We already talked about that earlier on in the program, but good Lord have mercy, folks. Follow the volume, follow the opportunity, and break out the damn sledgehammer. Pound the living daylights out of that over, whether it's 900.5 or 949.5. Hell, if it was 999.5, I'd still be way over.
You got my follow-up question. I was like, where would be the breaking point? Where would you hesitate?
Probably 1049.5 for me, to be honest.
I was going
to
say.
Well, yeah. So just to speak to that, Brad, 14 games last year, Ronald Jones, 978 yards. And then Ronald Jones, you know,
and that's Ronald Jones.
So we're not talking Najee Harris there, so...
Yeah, and he was averaging like what?
12
carries per game.
He had a couple, you know, big volume games, but not a ton. So, yeah.
So you're 100% into.
Yeah, and what's the deal here? This number, what is it? Is the number going to move, or does just the odds move? Like, are we going to start getting it up to like -190, -200, or are they going to move the number up closer to 1,000? Because everybody's going to hammer the over on this, and so it's just, you know, something's going to have to give.
You think?
Well, but you got to remember, it's mid-May, so nobody's really thinking about football futures unless they're degens like us. So by the time
that
people wager, by the time people wager,
949 right now is even. It's one. It's 110, right? By the way.
Oh, God, Jesus! I mean, it's just free money. It's free. That's a free space on your bingo card. Is what that is.
So just so you know, Brad, all the ones I brought up today on BetMG, all of them are 110s. Just so you know, they're even.
Yeah, because there's no action on it. Because nobody's thinking about it. So if you want to maximize, and this is what we always talking about, you know, whether it's a daily line or a player prop or whatever, or it's a futures ticket, it got to strike early. Strike hard, strike fast. And if you were able to do that Cobra Kai style, Brandon, then, you know, you can make some money in the end if you're willing to tie up your money for 7 months.
Brad, you would be impressed at how far I came. I'm so much of a degenerate that as soon as the week one lines came out, I did a 5-team parlay on week one.
I couldn't go that far. The only game that I bet on was the Sam Darnold Bowl, and I took the Jets and the points.
Did you? No, I did. Yeah. I hit like two overs, one under, and then the Washington football was originally like +3.5, and it's already down to one. And then there was another home dog in week one. I can't remember what it was, but
that's crazy.
I hit some big outliers out there, but. For everybody out there, crazy, thank you for another transition. Again, seriously, as much as he likes to be self-deprecating, one of the best in the business, at Noisy Huevos. Brad, tell everybody, SiriusXM, your site, FTN, everything that you could possibly get from your great stuff that's out there.
Yeah, SiriusXM show I do with my buddy Senior Fun Buns every day, 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern time on the Fantasy Channel, FTN Fantasy, FTN Daily, FTNBets.com. Go there, check out the sites, you know, posting picks daily, generally lousy ones right now, again, in Major League Baseball and the NBA. So, you know, follow me with peril because you're probably going to lose a lot of money in the process. And then, as well, I've got a podcast network that I have with my buddy Toby Mergler called Sawdust Pods, and I have a pod there. Oh, shocker. The name of that is called Fade the Noise, and it's a daily gambling pod. Five picks every single day with some bonus times. I do it with my buddy Nate Lundy. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, if you download and listen to your podcast. And, gentlemen, we're going to have a major partnership announcement around Sawdust Pods coming up, I hope, later this week. So stay tuned on that.
Spicy. Spicy. Yeah.
Spicy. Brandon, parting thoughts, or did I not put that in the notes?
Oh, I'm not ready for parting thoughts. There's never parting thoughts. We're never done talking about fantasy football.
I just wanted to throw something else out there because you're never ready, but we'll be ready next week. Be ready to have Beller back. Be ready for a show full of bears, I'm sure. And thanks again for Brad. Please give him a follow. We love you guys. We'll catch you next week.